Today on Movie World, as we give you a quick update from the LA Film Festival Day 1. Time for Movie Wallace. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallace is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Hey guys.
If you love the movies, you should be here at LA Film Festival. That's where you should be if you love the movies.
Too right.
Which is where we are at, in but half a block away from the main venue.
Yeah, this is a first for us.
What, a live recording?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think we've ever live podcasted from a film festival before.
So today's day number one. We're all looking a bit droopy-eyed.
Already?
Well, it's, what time is it? It's after midnight.
It is 12:30.
It is 12:25.
And the LA Kings won the Stanley Cup, apparently.
Yes, and all of Los Angeles went collectively crazy.
Except for the organizers of the film festival, because the first screening I went to, they were complaining, or like, it's great that the LA Kings won, but boy, are they interfering with our film festival.
Yeah, and people should know that, you know, the Kings were playing at the stadium, which is right next to LA Live.
Yes.
So people had a real hard time even getting to the cinemas.
Yeah. Well, we got stuck in traffic. We missed the movie, which is kind of frustrating,
right.
Given.
Yes.
But, oh well.
But let's not talk about the ones we missed. Let's talk about the ones we saw.
Yes. So we split up. We did a divide and conquer today, didn't we? We all went our separate ways when we got here. That's one of the beauties of film festivals. There's usually more than one option at any given time. So, you know, if you do find yourself here at the film festival, you're never stuck for something to watch. You never think, there's like only movies that I'm going to hate in this category, or there's only documentary, or there's only narrative, or there's only it's like, generally speaking, they give you a nice range of options. So
yeah, and the truth is you don't know. You don't know what you're going to see and if you're going to like it or not. And I think we're going to see examples of all the spectrum.
Yes,
as we go through the ones we've watched this evening.
Yes, a film festival is like a box of chocolates. You don't know which one you're going to get.
Not like a Godiva box of chocolates always either, right? Okay, so why don't we kick off with what we all saw?
So I saw a movie called Land Ho. Shall I just jump into the description?
Absolutely.
Is it about a prostitute who works on by the seashore? Never
That's
mind.
The movie I may have wanted to watch, but no. Actually, this was a movie by writers. It's a writer-director team, Martha Stevens and Aaron Katz. And basically, the movie's about a couple of guys, Colin and Mitchell. They're buddies through kind of marriage from a long time ago, so they're actually ex-brothers-in-law, and circumstances bring them together on a trip to Iceland. It's kind of a buddy movie. The two guys head off to Iceland on a kind of an impromptu trip, and essentially the movie was just a standard kind of buddy pick, but it was done really, really nicely. I mean, number one, I think for me the biggest thing I liked about the movie was just the sense of place. It really has portrayed Iceland in a really nice light. I think more than anything, I was surprised by like just the breadth and diversity and the beauty of Iceland in terms of, you know, you have the urban areas, but then there are also the geysers, however you call them, the hot springs and
any
all the mountainous.
Heads?
No sheep's heads in this particular one, but it's a very nice movie, kind of heartwarming. It was a journey of two friends. They, you know, they go through their ups and downs in terms of their relationship, and it was just a very entertaining, nice movie to watch. I think it is going to get a general release. They're talking it's been picked up by Sony Classic Pictures, so I think they said 11th of July is when the movie gets a kind of, it'll be a limited general release, but it's one definitely worth checking out.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
Okay. So I went to see one which was a French movie with English subtitles, and it was called The Kidnapping of Michel Houellebecq. And Michel Houellebecq was basically a renowned author, journalist, quite an outspoken chap. And back in 2011, he was in the middle of a promotional book tour, and apparently he went missing, and people thought, you know, maybe he's been kidnapped, maybe he's been taken by Al-Qaeda. And when he resurfaced, he actually gave no explanation. So he's clearly a very quirky man. And so this movie is almost mockumentary narrative about what could have happened in that time. And he, of course, is playing himself in the movie. So it's kind of a homage to Charlie Kaufman, or what they've quoted here is the work of O. Henry. So overall, it was an enjoyable movie. I wouldn't say I loved it and that I laughed out loud, but it was comedic and it was funny and it had this sweet tone to it. And it wasn't really about a kidnapping at all. It was actually about a group of people that come together as a result of this kidnapping. And there are these three kidnappers who just bumble everything, and they kind of take him into the family, and he becomes almost like a house guest as opposed to a hostage. And that's basically the movie.
Cool. Yes, Dee.
And I saw a film called Recommended by Enrique. And the movie is essentially about a couple of characters who drift into a small, really small town in Texas, Del Rio, Texas, an aspiring Hollywood actress who is, you know, almost delightfully unclued or clueless about the fact that she's been recruited for this horror film for which the director even hasn't bothered to show up. And then the other character in the movie is this very cryptic sort of cowboy, a Latino man who's come to the town for reasons that are not very apparent. And the movie kind of plays with that. Unfortunately, the movie gets very, very experimental as it goes. I mean, there are entire scenes where, you know, this actress, she's just talking into the camera and she's practicing how to laugh, and parts of it work and parts of it have humor, but then
experimental can sometimes be a euphemism for crap.
Like, she has a great personality.
I wouldn't want to watch this movie again. I did consider walking out.
Technically, was it well-made, though? I mean,
no.
Okay, because that can be, you know, there are movies that are difficult to watch, but there are also movies that are kind of amateurish or, you know, student film project kind of thing.
Yeah, I think the movie's trying, so maybe it's intentionally trying to be a really low budget, like it's trying for a B movie kind
like
of
like it's really trying hard to be a B movie.
It's trying it's trying to be a satire, I think, of a particular time and place. And it's a satire of small town America. But I don't know, it just didn't sit well.
Didn't work.
But isn't this why we like film festivals? Because you really don't know what you're going to get when you walk into that movie theater. I mean, really, you're going to be hit by something amazing, or you're going to be hit by something experimental.
And, you know, the movie that I saw, I think, you know, was definitely like a film festival movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of thing that I think works great in this environment, because, you know, you're not expecting things to be, you know, a mainstream movie. You're expecting it to be more of a niche type audience, a film lovers type film, but not necessarily something that I would, you know, tell my coworker to go and see unless they were really into movies.
Right. And the same with mine. I mean, mine was very niche and interesting and quirky. I wouldn't say as quirky as something like Holy Motors, which I loved, but clearly, you know, this is a quirky movie. And I think of Joe when I say quirky movie. So Joe, I'm not sure if you'd like it, other than it's in French, which you obviously,
as long as there's a narrative, I can deal with it. It's a non-narrative movies that really get under my skin.
So what about the last film we've just watched, which we all
all then wandered over to see a movie called Comet. I think we were all drawn to that primarily because it had a couple of big stars in it. Well, I say a big star, Justin Long I think was the biggest name in it, but it also had Emmy Rossum, who Rashmi and I saw in a movie earlier this year at South by Southwest, and she's done plenty of other work if you look her up. Yazdi, you mentioned she was in Phantom of the Opera.
She was. I first noticed her in Clint Eastwood's Mystic River. Yeah.
And this movie, Comet, was directorial debut by writer-director Sam Esmail. He was here at the screening. It was great to get the Q&A with him. And this movie is basically about a couple of characters. The Justin Long character, who is very kind of an analytical kind of guy and kind of a difficult relationship. He meets this girl played by Emmy Rossum, and they have a relationship, but very quickly in the movie you learn that this relationship has ended, and you know, the movie kind of takes things out of sequence and plays with the whole kind of arc of a relationship, so that you're never quite in one place. It cuts back and forth between all of the different scenes. And I think that, Rashmi, correct me if I'm wrong here, but they said that the timeline for this movie was something over 6 years, and it was six different points in the relationship.
Correct. That we kept They're basically jumping around. Telling you a parallel story of six consecutive years in this relationship, but you're seeing it at different times. Yeah.
So what did you think?
So I thought the movie, what was most striking to me is how visually stylized the movie was. That was the part which really, was very noticeable. And it's stylized with a sense of deliberateness. There's an artificiality to how it is stylized. It's very overt, which it takes some while getting used to, but then I really began to enjoy it. And I know we should be talking about, the two main characters or the writing or whatever. But again, visually what struck me is the entire film is framed with characters in one corner of the screen. There are very few scenes where they're at the center of the screen. So whoever has photographed this, whoever has made it, the compositions are exquisite, and in almost every single scene, they're in one corner of the camera. And I noticed it halfway through the movie, and then I was keeping track, and it continued through the end. Well, so very well visually thought out.
I mean, I actually found the composition just a little bit annoying, because oftentimes the character was facing out of the frame. Now, if you know anything about composition, right, you place your character at one side, and you have them looking into the frame, so that the way that our eye is drawn is the way that the direction in which the character is looking. But for so much of this movie, we could see what was behind them, not in front of them. I found that to be a little distracting. But Rashmi, tell us what you thought of the movie.
I liked it. I mean, I liked the visual style of it. I just thought it was very first-time director because, clearly this guy's passionate about his first movie and he wants to do something a little bit different. He was certainly able to achieve that. It was definitely the anti-Wes Anderson framing of a movie. I liked it. I just think it was a little bit too stylistic and sometimes it took me out of the moment. In terms of the movie though, Yazdi, what did you think of the actual movie itself?
I liked it. I'm not passionately in love with it. I liked it. I thought that the writing was good, and definitely it's a first writer's draft. And I also felt a lot of the characters spoke in a way that people don't normally speak.
Yeah.
Both the actors are too smart. Everything they speak is too intellectual, too clever, too quirky, too trying to please you. I mean, my gold standard for this kind of movies is 500 Days of Summer. And this movie kind of...
I felt like he was going for that kind of movie.
But 500 Days of Summer, I was so physically with those two characters. They devastated me. I was not physically as invested with these characters.
This was a heavier movie than that, though.
Correct.
I mean, clearly he was going for something a little less lighthearted.
I completely agree with you, Yazdi. You stole the words off my page. I was going to say I did like the smart structure, but I just felt it was a little bit too precious. And at times I found it almost to be pretentious and precocious. Those are the words I would use. But then at some point in the movie, probably about three quarters of the way through, it got me. And then I felt a little bit more invested. But I had all the problems you had, Yazdi. The dialogue was just not how people speak to one another.
Which ordinarily would be very witty. I mean, and I did enjoy the dialogue. I shouldn't lie. It just never gave me a naturalistic vibe.
Exactly.
It seemed like I was watching a play.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was my main criticism. I mean, overall, I think this movie was, actually, it was very well constructed. And I think as a first-time filmmaker, I see that there's a lot of talent here. I think he can write. I think he's got great talent for dialogue. I think he's got a good idea of, narrative structure. By breaking things up the way that he did, he had a really clever idea. My main criticism with it was I found it to be too talky. And I'm not a big fan of very talky movies. There are some exceptions to that, but generally speaking, there was so much of the plot delivered here through line after line after line after line of spoken dialogue that I struggled with that a little bit. But that's not to say the movie didn't win me over, because it absolutely did, and I think it had a certain charm to it. And I think if you sit down with the right level of patience, maybe a couple of edits here and there, because I was literally towards the end, I was waiting for it to end. And I think you should never get to that point with a movie, but certainly as a first time writer director, I think he's done a terrific job here. And I look forward to what else he's got coming.
Yeah, it certainly worked its way into my heart. I was kind of devastated by it a little bit. I was devastated for the characters. But that's more because, when you see a 6-year period of a relationship, I felt that it was much more low than it was high. There were a few high moments, but most of it's quite dark and low, and it kind of devastated me, that part. I have to say, though, I was knocked off my socks by Emmy Rossum. Great performance.
And Justin Long, actually, to be fair. They were both exceptional.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, my pick would have been Justin Long, because I think he's spot on here, and I think he does wonders with some slightly clunky dialogue at times. You know, I think he brings a real conviction to it, and he had me convinced, even though I was listening to the words and thinking, I don't know that anyone would actually ever say that, but he you know, that in the moment I felt what I needed to feel. By virtue of his performance alone, I couldn't fault it at all.
Yeah,
I mean, he's the stand-in for a fairly witty, fairly pretentious, if you will, screenwriter. I mean, the director, you know, the writer-director, obviously he said during the Q&A afterwards that the main character is a stand-in for him.
Right.
And so considering that, a lot of the things that he had to say, he made them work. And I think it may not have worked for some other actors. So, yeah. And I would not have thought of Justin Long for this role at all.
I guess, sorry.
Yeah.
No, so. I was just going to say, my issue with Justin Long was I found the character too arrogant and awkward. And I think that I didn't see a lot of character arc, whereas I think Emmy Rossum over the six different years or the different scenes gave me a bit more depth.
Right.
So I think that's what I enjoyed. And I think she's just so versatile. I mean, having seen her in Before I Disappear, which was the South by Southwest film, the long version of the short Oscar that won in 2012, which we all loved. I'm really looking out for Emmy Rossum.
Yeah, she was great in this movie. Just the camera really likes her. I mean, I think she was very well shot here, and I think you know, there are a couple of moments where I think the dialogue let her down, but again, just like Justin Long, I think she did excellent work with it, and I was convinced by the character that she was portraying. And it was a very different character to the one that we saw in Before I Disappear Completely at South by Southwest, which again, you know, seeing her in two very different roles in a single year, that just gives me a lot of hope for her moving forward. I hope she really breaks through.
Yeah,
and to give credit where it's due, even though this is a overwritten script, if you will. I mean, I think it is very perceptive about a few things, you know, especially towards the end. A lot of the dialogue kind of speaks true to people who have had breakups or relationships or whatever. So I think this, you know, he's obviously been through this breakup process, and he's used it to put together this pretty amazing script.
There's one line that really devastated me. Gosh, I'm choking up even now as I think about it. It's amazing because there's this one line, and it's not a spoiler, but the character says, in a parallel universe, I end up with you. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing line. I mean, it's representative of a lot of the dialogue, I think, in the movie. It sounds, you know, a lot of the stuff comes across corny, but for some reason,
out of context, that sounds terrible, but does. In the movie, it really works.
And I
credit Justin Long for that. Yeah. Because, I mean, I think he brought a reality to that moment that I think, I don't even know it was on the page. I mean, I think even the director was probably blown away by what he did with that line and that scene. So,
and in a parallel universe, all our Movie Walla listeners would be here at LA Film Festival with us.
Yeah, if you are around, you have to come here. I mean, the film festival is on annually. They do a great job of curating movies. We've spoken about this at several of our podcasts, but you know, film festivals in general, you know, go to them. You know, if you're a movie lover, which you must be because you listen to Movie Wallers, then do check out LA Film Festival.
And with that, we'll be back with more updates as the festival goes on.
Yeah, hope you enjoyed this impromptu kind of live from the scene of the film festival type podcast. And if you have any comments or thoughts about this kind of coverage on Movie Wallers, do let us know. Mail at moviewallers.com. Twitter.com/MovieRollers and Facebook.com/MovieRollers as well. Stay tuned. We'll post as many pictures as we can from the film festival, and hopefully at least one or two more updates via podcast. So until next time, it's Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. And good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.